First of all, I wanted to draw out for you the mother. Mothers are beautiful. Amen. They are really beautiful for one real reason. They cry for anything. Any reason they cry, man. You could find a piece of wood in the gutter, a piece of old raggedy wood, just a piece of wood, and taken, you don't even have to wipe it off. Just take your little penknife and put a nick in it and just carry it on home to her and say, look, Mom, see what I made for you? Your mother will say, oh, my heavens. You made this for me. You just come here. I'll forgive you for everything. See, that's where mothers have it over fathers, man. Because you take that same piece of wood, give it to your father. Dad, I made this for you. What the hell is this, a piece of wood you found in the gutter? Get that thing out of here. That's why fathers don't get good presents, because they don't cry. Huh? Father's Day comes, right? What happens? Every father's got to tell everybody, you know, today is Father's Day for crying out loud. Mother's Day, you break your back, man, buying, you know, working to buy some presents. Father's Day, you go up to your father, Dad, give me 35 cents. I want to buy a pack of cigarettes. And then you smoke half the pack coming home. And that isn't even his brand. All fathers fall asleep watching the television set. Haven't met one yet that didn't fall asleep with one shoe off, propped up on the sofa, and just snored. 3 o'clock in the morning. And you come in the house and the television set's going, and you walk over and turn it off. Click. Turn it back on. I was looking at that. Dad, what are you talking about? It was Conrad. Later on, he's a hell of a detective. A mother's greatest weapon, though, is not crying. Mother's greatest weapon is her voice.
Didn't I tell you not?
If that voice is within 30 feet of you, it will decalcify your whole spinal column and you will drop to your knees and say, please, Mother, I'd rather you hit me than scream at me. Mothers always say,
you're going to drive me to my grave.
Fathers always say, I'm going to drive you to your grave. And the father's sound is different too, although it is a great weapon for him. Father's voice is, oh. I remember the three of us as kids used to sit down and watch television, man. He'd just walk into the living room, 5'11", 230 pounds. Okay, man, everybody spread out. He's going to hit somebody. No sense in letting him get all three of us in one shot. We gotta split up. Let's go. And he would always chase one kid. Come back here, which is a dumb statement to make. What does a parent really think? You think because you say, come back here, the kid's gonna stop and come back and get killed? Everybody's not dumb. I've seen some dumb parents in my life, man. Dumb because they said to some kid, go get me something to beat you with. Now, what kind of a statement is that to make? And I've seen kids dumb enough to go out and rip up a tree and bring it back here. Go on, beat me to death, Dad. My father ever said that to me, I'd tear off the corner of a piece of paper here. Go on, well. Go on, tear me up. And a parent, the father or mother is never wrong, man. They don't know your name, some of them. If there's over three children, they can't go, boy, stop that. They don't know you and walk up and hit you for nothing. Whack, what's that for? That's because the other time when I didn't catch you when you was doing something. And don't you ever forget it. Parents, really groovy. I'm probably the only living husband that wins an argument with his wife. You know what I do? I'll tell you my secret. When we argue, I cry first. Yeah. And then I beat her to the bathroom. And I lock her out. And she's out there banging on the door. Let me in. I said, no, I was in here first. And then I opened the door and I beat her to the telephone. I called my mother. My wife can't beat me in nothing. On top of that, I leave my underwear in the sink first. She can't beat me in that. She comes up, she says, my hands are dirty, your underwear's in the sink. I said, good. Now you know how I feel. Do you ever go up to wash your hands in these things with the bubbles floating in the sink? And your hands are staring, you got gunk all on your hands there. And you know, how are you gonna pick them up? You don't know how to wash your hands and leave the water clear. I leave my socks strung across as she hangs herself when she walks in the bathroom. I pay my wife back. Everything she does, I do. First time I got married, I almost got my neck torn off, man. Walking into that bathroom with the nylon strung across the doorway. Just, I pay her right back. Yes, and I love her. I have my own hair dryer. And she talks to me and I say, what? What? Any of you here have grandfathers? About, my grandfather's like 92, and he's getting up there, you know, old. And did you ever talk to your grandfather when you've been away for a long time? And the only conversation you can get from him is like, you know who died yesterday? No, who did, Grant? You remember S.C.'s son's brother, Dick, used to live up on the hill, played ice skating and roller derby, and was a third cousin of Frank Johnson, who passed away 2 weeks ago, and said he'd live longer than me. Yeah, all of them, the whole family died yesterday. Guess I won't be around much longer. He's been saying that for 50 years now. Guess I won't be around much longer. But every time I see him, you know who died yesterday? No. A lot of people. No, my grandfather was really cool. He was the one, he taught me how to drink coffee out of the saucer. Really cool, man. We used to sit down in the cellar drinking coffee out of the saucer. He was really good at it. He said, he just take his coffee and just... And I said, right, all over me and everything. Takes quite a thing to do. He taught me how to smoke cigars and everything. He started me smoking cigars when I was 12. I said, what do you smoke cigars for, Gramps? He'd keep the worms away. Get rid of them worms. I said, well, I don't have any worms. He said, well, have a cigar then. So we sit down and smoke cigars. I never got so sick. Man, I could feel my eyes turning red. Did you ever get like that? I don't drink. I never had a hangover or anything, but I felt my eyes getting red from cigar smoke. And his wife wouldn't let him smoke upstairs. He had to smoke in the cellar down there while he was always fixing the furnace. And my grandfather would always take 50 cents. You know that record? I don't know if any of you heard of the record, Little Old Man. Well, I was dedicated to my grandfather because he used to put me on all the time. And he would, a grandfather can talk to you and hold your attention for 900 years by just holding a quarter in front of your face. Now you take this quarter, yeah. Let me have it. No, not yet. I'm going to tell you what to do with it. Yeah, I'll do whatever you say. Just give me the quarter. No, now you take this quarter and you put it in the bank. Yes, I'll put it in the bank. Give me the quarter. Hershey bars, that's the baby Ruth, then buy six pretzels with some mustard on it, and be able to chip in for a baseball. You take this quarter and you put it in the bank. Yes, please give it to me. I listen to Gramps for about 900 hours just for a quarter, and then take it right to the store. Give me 12 of these and 6 of these and 14 of them. Poor guy that ran the candy store, we probably drove him crazy, man, walking in there ordering things. And it seems like every guy that owns a candy store doesn't know what you're pointing at. It's a whole comedy routine between the two of you. Give me one of these.
That?
No, over there. This one. And these, but don't put your hands on the candy.
Well, what do you want?
I want six of the red ones with the iron stripe on the side there.
This one?
Yeah. Now give me one of them.
They're five for a dollar.
Oh, well, wait a minute. Give me the other one on the side, the other green one.
This one?
No, underneath. See where your hand is?
Yeah.
Not there. Uh-huh. Now move over to the side.
Right.
Now, that's the one, but right here?
Yeah.
How much are they?
How many do you want?
Because my back is hurting me. Yeah, keep him going. And then you bring in soda bottles, the 2-cent soda bottles. And he goes,
where'd you get them bottles from?
I got them from this store, believe it or not.
I never saw you in here before.
Well, I got them from here when you were drunk one night. You know what, but dogs are better than cats. Cats are not cool at all. You know, a cat is very independent. He's just sucking in on your food. Now, answer this question. Did a cat ever do anything for you? Huh? Did a cat? No. Cats don't do anything. Huh? They could kill mice anyplace. He don't have to be in your house if he's hungry. You watch him. He got a shopping bag. He's going around looking for mice. A cat has never done anything for anybody except sit on your sofa and shed and make you sneeze. Cats, they sit there. No, that's the truth. You watch. I'm telling you, a cat will just sit on your sofa and he's just... You can't say to a cat, come here, Fido. If you do, the cat will say, what? See, I said, come here. You're not talking to me. I was just sitting here on the sofa, man. I'm watching television right now. Got any more catnip? You haven't been catching any mice lately? No, man, because I'm full. Can't eat them all up in one day, you know. And besides, some of them haven't bathed yet. Yeah, that's why they call them cats. Man. Now, a dog is beautiful, you know. Hey, hey, what can I do for you? You want your slippers? Long slippers. Oh, I'll get the other one. Here, here's your newspaper. That's not mine. You chewed it all up. Can't help it. I got sharp teeth. You know, dogs always trying, man, but a cat, the only time you ever see a cat, and I gotta be frank with you, is when it's a tiny and he's meow, rubbing all around your leg, putting that fur all around there so you can start sneezing, your eyes swell up. But cats are really cool. Now, if you want to own a real cat, get yourself a lion. Then you'll respect him, I'll tell you that. You say, come here. And when he comes, you go. I always wanted to have pets like that. Have a gorilla right in the house, man. Have him sitting around the house. I ain't gonna clothe him. I ain't gonna clothe him. I'll just let him walk around the way he is. But just think, when some guy breaks into your house late at night, what he's gonna be seeing when he starts to go for that safe. First of all, he's got to laugh a lot. That's all he can do. Because there's no communication between man and gorilla. I mean, you can say to a gorilla all you want, get out of here, you know, but he ain't going to stand for that as he's ripping your ear off. That's the first thing he wants to do. A gorilla will rip your ear off. He wants to peel you. How many of you out there own a sports car? Yeah, yeah. What do you have?
Mustang.
Mustang.
a Volkswagen. Volkswagen is a sports car. I'm sorry, then whatever it is I have is out of line because I thought that the Ferrari was a sports car. Volkswagen. How many Volkswagen owners out there? Want to hear how popular you are? Want to hear? Okay. Up with the mics. This is a poll which will be taken to find out exactly how many people like Volkswagen owners. Yeah, are you ready for it? Now just hold your votes. All those, and please, I'm going to give it to the Volkswagen people first. All those that like the Volkswagen and the people that drive them, you better come through strong, man, because I'm telling you, you're going to be in trouble. Say aye.
Aye.
I'll give you another chance, man. I'm kind of weak on that one. All those like Volkswagens and Volkswagen owners, say aye. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for the ultimate? All those disliking Volkswagens and their owners say no. You thought you were well liked. Really thought you had down with the mics. Just wanted you to get a little idea that there are a couple of people running around here in Volkswagens that are not nice people. I'll give you one example, something I had an experience with. I had a Rolls Royce, cost $19,000, and it stopped running. The thing just went, brr, and I'm sitting out there in the middle of the highway, you know. What? I'm getting ready to tell that right now. Were you listening to me when I started talking about that? Huh? Okay. But do you have a Volkswagen?
No, I
have
a Mustang.
Mustang Sally. Gotta slow your Mustang down. No, Mustang's groovy car. Yeah. I guess they're groovy. I don't know too much about them. I see them coming. Mustang, but the VW people are not nice. Cause I was stuck in the snow. I really was with the Rolls. Yes, it is being stuck in the snow and freezing to death. It's gangs of fun. I was just sitting there saying to myself with my fingers hurting me because it was very cold and my feet saying, when are we gonna get some warmth? Gee whiz, this is gangs of fun. Pretty soon I'll be dead. This is really gangs of fun. I was gangs and ganging of fun. Funning in gangs. So here comes a guy in a VW. Now, it's bad enough that I have an $18,000 car that will not go. But here comes a guy with a $1,400 special, supercharged up radio heater, white wall tires, and blue book. And he's going, doesn't go past me like he should, stops the car.
We get 100 miles to the gallon, too. If the fan belt breaks, we use a rubber band.
That I don't need from anybody. I don't need that from people. You know, it's just out of line. See, but a Volkswagen owner will not tell you about when they're driving down the highway, how when the truck comes from an opposite direction, how do you wind up in the ditch? And you haven't even turned the steering wheel. You know, how do we get in the ditch? I don't know, the cars are afraid of trucks, that's all it is. They won't tell you about how they're barred from the Golden Gate Bridge because they keep changing lanes without moving the steering wheel. They don't don't say nothing to you about why you gotta roll the windows down before you, when you get in the car and you close the door. Because if you don't, if the windows are up, your brains smash against the window and you have to go to the doctor. My brains just fell against the window over here. What happened? Well, I said to close the door on a Volkswagen. They don't tell you about if they have a head-on collision with a dog, they lose. No, all they know is 100 miles to the gallon. But you are looking at a sports car freak, see? Freak old time with the sports car. Any kind of car, if it does 180, yeah, give me it, I gotta have it. That's me, and I cannot stop myself. I try to stop myself, I said, stop. And I said, no, give me. And I got to bought the Ferrari. And another thing is, although I like a car that'll do over 180, I know nothing about them. Won't even read the booklet on the car. Don't even care. All I know is if the car is going, and if it goes, it's broken. And I call up the mechanic. Hello, the car is broken. Come and fix it. You know, I don't even know where the gas tank is. I'm serious about that. Pulled right into the gas station one time. Pulled right up. The guy came out, white suit, you know, gas station attendant with his name, Bob, across the chest, you know. Comes over and he says, what do you want? Fill her up. That's what I know. And the guy said, where's the gas tank? I said, I don't know. You're the gas man. Find the gas tank. So now the guy's walking all around the car, man. He's just going around the car, just looking and looking, getting ready to put it in the tires. No, not there, you fool. Well, where's the gas thing? I don't know where it is. What is this, candid camera or something? You got the thing in? No, it's not. Find the gas tank. Okay. Well, what if I just pour it all over the car? Maybe it'll suck in somewhere around there. All right? Now, I have found out through stupidity that there's an instrument on the car which will let you know just how dumb you are. I mean, there's no pity. Windshield wipers. They have no pity on you whatsoever. You hit the wrong button, they'll tell you, dumb guy, dumb guy, dumb guy, dumb guy, dumb guy. And then you can't find the button to turn it off. Dumb guy, dumb guy. Sunshine and people keep turning on their windshield wipers as you pass them by. Is it raining? I don't know. His was on. Dumb guy, dumb guy, dumb guy. The Ferrari is such a fast car that when you buy it, they automatically give you 12 speeding tickets. Now, this is not a bad thing because all you have to do is whenever you get caught, all you have to do is just put it in the basket. They have a long handle on the basket when they pass by, you just put it in there. I cannot figure out where they come from, though. You are looking at a guy that has searched high and low before he will go out speeding anywhere, and they always come up from behind somewhere. I can't figure it out, man. It's driving me crazy. Where they are? I look left, right, forward, back all the time. I'm looking like that. My head's just spinning around. Blah, 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 blah. And they... I'm telling you, one time, my car broke down. I called a mechanic, and the mechanic came over, had a white suit on. Bob. You know. Opens up the hood, and he looks inside, and he's talking all that. Well, your cracker meters are all underneath the rokers and the sack and the aggregate, and you got the dual labs, you know, with the camshaw rink back and all the carburetors underneath the illuminator and the beamer hater and all the graggers, and I said, yeah. I said, what's the matter with the car? He says, it's broken. I said, well, what's really wrong with it? He said, no, you just got a lot of gunk in there. That's all. There's a lot of gunk in there. And what you have, see, it's a high-performance car, and you got to burn this thing out. I mean, you just can't leave it sitting there. You can't drive it 35 miles an hour and expect this car to perform properly for you. I mean, you got to drive it, you got to burn it out by put it in second gear and drive like 100 miles an hour.
Oh, really? Where am I going to find a place to do 100 miles an hour?
Any side street. So I take the car on the side street, and I'm looking all around for the police. And I look all around for the police. I don't see them. And I get in my car, and I say, Christmas time. The closest I figure, they got to be coming out of my trunk. Guys are hiding out right in the trunk, man. He's sick. And then the guy says, well, what's the matter? Why were you going so fast? I was burning out the gunk. Right, come on, go to the police station. We're going to get the gunk out of you. That's a Ferrari. I'm walking around the department store, and I bump into Carol Shelby. Boom. So Carol starts chewing me out. What you doing driving them foreign cars? I said, what do you mean? You got them Ferraris and them Maseratis and all them foreign cars. You supposed to be driving an American car. You're an American, ain't you?
Yeah.
Well, drive an American car. I said, well, in the first place, an American car only does 160. That's all there is to it. Ferrari goes 180. I need a car that does 180 or better to get to work. Because I live 2 miles, you know, from work. And so I can say to my wife, goodbye, dear, and I'm at work, see? And so he's, well, I'm going to tell you something right now. The Cobra people, my people, will build a car for you, and I don't want to see you in another Ferrari as long as you live. You understand that? I said, yeah. I said, how fast is it going to go? It'll do over 200 miles an hour.
You're kidding.
No, sir, Rebob. It'll do over 200 miles an hour because I'm having one built for me, and it's going to have automatic shift. You won't have to worry about no clutch. It's 900 horsepower, 427 cubic inches, and it'll have dual everything. I said, okay, man. Make that car for me. I'm telling you right now, it's going to have dual superchargers, going to have dual horsepower, going to have dual engines in it, going to have dual wheels, dual steering wheels, dual glove compartment, everything. Damn it, going to be dual. And you and I will just drive down the highway doing over 200 miles an hour and loving it. I said, okay. Now, I'm like a kid, Christmas Eve, waiting for this car. I've got to have this car. Because, I mean, to me, it means a lot. It means that I can put down a lot of people. The kids with them Chevys and the big wheels that go all the way around about the size of the airplane wheels. And the kids always driving downhill and everything. And they'll leave me alone now. Hey, you want to drag? No, sir. Get away from here. I'll drive by Steve McQueen's house and put him down. Hey, Steve, you don't have this one. Yeah, I love that, man. It's going to be my car over 200 miles an hour. I just see myself. Over 200. One night, the doorbell rang. That's my doorbell. My wife had that doorbell put in. That wasn't my doorbell. See, when we had the house built, I put in my own doorbell, which I thought was really groovy. And it is. It's cool. I get tired of dum, dum. When you push my doorbell, it says, somebody's at the door. That's very hip to me. I love that, man. You know. And the house man comes up to me and says, Mr. Cosby's a man out there with the Cobra. What? The Cobra. You're kidding. No, sir. Have him come in. So the guy walks in, and he's all dressed in black. And he's got his name across the thing. That's Bob. Yeah. How'd you know? Did you meet him before? Met him? Bob, of course. And he says, here are the keys to your Cobra, Mr. Cosby.
Is it outside?
Yes, sir. Oh, man, give me the keys. And I ran upstairs and I changed clothes, put on my Italian racing shoes, and put on a shirt with an ascot, and I put on my scarf, and it was starched, going straight back. And I had my hair all starched, going straight back. Look out, Snoopy! And I come downstairs, and I go outside, and I look, and there she is, all blue. And it's got chrome pipes coming out of the engine, wrapping all the way around the car, forming into a roll bar. And on the hood, there's a hickey. That's where the superchargers live, right there in that hickey. And I said, oh man, my car. Oh, and pipes coming out, the exhaust pipes just coming out, shooting out 18, 19 diameter inches, cubic centimeter pipes. Wait till them kids in the Chevy see these pipes. They'll go crazy. They'll say, oh, wow, look at them pipes, man. This guy's got pipes coming out of his car. Oh, wow. And I opened the door, and I got in the car. My car. Oh, I love you, car. And I kind of oozed into the seat. My car. And I wrapped both hands around the steering wheel and I just kind of sat there and went. And the guy said, why don't you start it up? Yeah, I forgot all about that, man. And I put the key in. And right by the key, there's a gold plaque. It says, this car is made especially for Mr. Bill Cosby by Carroll Shelby and Company. 900 horsepower, 427 cubic inch engine, dual superchargers, dual everything, and will do over 200 miles an hour and is faster than anything Steve McQueen owns. And I looked at the speedometer. The speedometer starts at zero, goes all the way up around to 200 mph. And under the 200, there's still more room and the words, oh wow. Oh, and there's a fire extinguisher. Now this is really groovy, man. A fire extinguisher. Now, can you tell me how many cars have a fire extinguisher so that they're driving down the street, man, you see a house in fire, you know, and you just jump right out of it. And they said, my goodness, thank you so much. I loved it. And my scarf was just sitting there, straight back, flying in the wind. And I put it in neutral and smiled at the guy. 900 horsepower. Oh, boy. And I started it up. And I turned it off. Straight up on my head. My Italian racing shoes had turned into sneakers. The fire extinguisher emptied itself all over me. Ladies and gentlemen, I was idling. I was idling. The car had not moved. I had not put my foot on the gas pedal, and it was killing people. My body says, get out now, or I will not be with you. But the mind and the body do not get along well, and so the mind's ego was at stake here. Manhood. I couldn't let this man know that I was scared to death. I couldn't let him know that I went along with the fire extinguisher. First time in my life I've ever fastened a safety belt. Now I know why they make safety belts. They're not concerned with my safety. The ambulance driver is too lazy to look for the body. And I started the car. Because I don't know any other word for it. I put it in drive, emergency brake on, foot brake on. I went around my own tree 3 times. Turned it off. Was still going around the tree. Scarf had left me. My shoes were run over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me, because I'm getting the hell out of this car. And I opened the door. And I took the keys out, and I walked around the car at a distance of about 12 feet. And I went over to the man dressed in black, and I said, take the keys and this car. It's all paid for, and you give it to George Wallace.